This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on May 3, 2007. Should you have questions after listening to this recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
The open meeting of the Federal Election Commission for Thursday, May 3, 2007. The first item on our agenda is the correction and approval of the minutes. Mr. Vice Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move approval of the minutes of an open session of the Federal Election Commission of Thursday, April 19, 2007, as set forth in Agenda Document 0733.
Very good. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Madam Secretary, if you can record the Vice Chairman's motion has been adopted by a vote of 5-0. The second item on our agenda is Draft Advisory Opinion 2007-5 involving Eric Iverson. We have here, both Dwayne Pugh and Amy Rothstein from the General Counsel's Office. And for the record, I would like to I'd like to have the record reflect that Commissioner Weintraub has recused herself from this matter and has now left the room. Oh, there she is in the audience. I thought she'd left the room. I apologize. The standard practice in the executive session is for people to leave the room, and I had thought that's what was going to happen. But she will watch from the field. Mr. Pugh, good morning.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Agenda document number 07-34 is a draft advisory opinion that responds to a request on behalf of Eric Iverson. Mr. Iverson is currently employed as Chief of Staff to U.S. Representative Dennis Rehberg of Montana. Mr. Iverson intends to seek election to the office of Chairman of the Montana Republican State Central Committee. In light of BCRA's prohibitions on federal candidates, office holders, and their agents raising or spending soft money in connection with state elections, Mr. Iverson asks if he may raise and spend soft money as Chairman of the State Committee while continuing to serve in his current position as Chief of Staff to the Congressman. He also asks if he may raise and spend soft money as Chairman of the State Committee if he becomes a fundraising agent of the Congressman in the future. The draft advisory opinion concludes that Mr. Iverson is not an agent of the Congressman because he has no authority to raise or spend funds in connection with any election on behalf of the Congressman. Therefore, the prohibitions in the Act that apply to agents of federal candidates and office holders do not apply to Mr. Iverson. The draft also concludes that Mr. Iverson may continue to raise and spend soft money on behalf of the state committee, even if he becomes a fundraising agent of the Congressman in the future. Under the Commission's regulations, agents of federal candidates and office holders are subject to the Act's soft money prohibitions only when they are acting on behalf of a federal candidate or office holder. Therefore, so long as Mr. Iverson raises and spends soft money exclusively on behalf of the state committee and not on the authority of the congressman, the Act's soft money provisions do not prohibit these activities. We have received no comments on the request or the draft opinion, and we would be happy to answer any questions. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Pugh. Any comments, questions, discussion? Commissioner Von Spakovsky?
I'll be happy to make a motion to accept the agenda document 0734 without any changes.
Okay. Commissioner Von Spakovsky has moved to approve or accept agenda document 07-34. Any discussion on the motion? Commissioner Walther?
I did have a difficult time with this just because of the difficulty in being able to, in the public eye, separate the two roles. Notwithstanding the fact that the two roles may actually be separated in fact. But I'm convinced that our current, the law and our current regulations would let this occur. It's just that perhaps in another day we could consider whether or not we think the appearance is too great to be overcome. But I'm going to go ahead and support the opinion.
Okay, very good. Other comments? Okay. All those in favor of Commissioner Von Spakovsky's motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Madam Secretary, if you can record that Commissioner Von Spakovsky's motion has been adopted by a vote of 4-0. Very good, Mr. Pugh. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next matter on our agenda involves Draft Advisory Opinion 2000-06 involving the Libertarian Party of Indiana. And we have Albert Kiss and Ron Catwan from the General Counsel's office. And if the record could record that Commissioner Weintraub has rejoined us here at the table. Please, Counsel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, Commissioners. The Libertarian Party of Indiana, by its treasurer, requests the advisory opinion before you in Agenda Document 07-35. The request seeks recognition of the Libertarian Party of Indiana as a state party committee of the National Libertarian Party. The draft concludes that, based on the evidence presented, the Libertarian Party of Indiana qualifies as a state party committee. This conclusion is based on the facts that the National Libertarian Party qualifies as a political party. The Libertarian Party of Indiana is part of the official Libertarian Party structure, and the Libertarian Party of Indiana is responsible for the day-to-day operation of the Libertarian Party at the state level. Thank you, and I'd be happy to respond to any questions you may have.
Very good. Any questions, comments, discussion? Any motions? Vice Chairman Mason.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move approval of a draft advisory opinion 2007-6 as set forth in agenda document 0735.
Very good. The Vice Chairman is so moved. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor indicate by saying aye. Aye. Those opposed? Madam Secretary, if you could record the Vice Chairman's motion has been adopted by a vote of 5-0. Thank you. The next item on our agenda is a draft notice of proposed rulemaking on hybrid ads. We have a late submitted document here. Vice Chairman Mason.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move suspension of our rules concerning the timely submission of documents so that we may consider agenda document 0732.
Vice Chairman is so moved. Any discussion on the motion? All those in favor indicate by saying aye. Aye. Those opposed? Madam Secretary, the Vice Chairman's motion has been adopted by a vote of 5-0. We have Essa Safera, Robert Knopp, and Amy Rothstein from the General Counsel's here office here today to present on this. Counsel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning. Agenda document 07-32 presents a notice of proposed rulemaking regarding hybrid communications. The NPRM explains and seeks comment on a proposed rule to attribute the disbursements for a public communication made by a political party that refers to a clearly identified federal candidate and also generically refers to other candidates of a political party without clearly identifying them. The proposed rule contains several alternative provisions, including two alternative candidate reference provisions, two alternative generic party reference provisions, and three alternative attribution provisions. The NPRM provides a 30-day public comment period, followed by a hearing on July 11, 2007. I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Any questions, discussions? Vice Chairman Mason, please go ahead.
Maybe the case for doing this ought to go for first.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, from my perspective, I want to express my appreciation and thanks to the staff for a lot of hard work on this. This is an area of law that has been in some dispute, and that we all agree that it is important to try and have this agency be clear as to the rules that will apply. Especially in the 2008 presidential election. I want to highlight that this is a notice of proposed rules, that we will open a 30-day comment period upon the publication of this in the Federal Register, and that we have set July 11th as a hearing date. I think that this is not an easy task that we have set for ourselves. I think that there are different views on what a final rule should look like, but that we are all committed to working very, very hard to trying to reach consensus during this calendar year so that candidates and political parties going into the 08 cycle are they'll be in the cycle already, or going into 2008, will know how this agency views these kinds of ads can be paid for. And so I think it's appreciate the staff's hard work and acknowledge and the hard work of the commissioners, the willingness to take this on, because this will not be an easy task. So that's my thoughts on that. Other comments, questions? Vice Chairman Mason.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I agree this is worth doing, And I agree it's important. And as I've expressed to my colleagues, I have some concerns about the process that's brought us here and the timing of it. And I start out with the fact that in the last day or so, we had a series of maybe as many as a half dozen separate amendments that came around on fairly short notice. And I think that is almost certainly a less than optimal drafting process, and it leaves me uncomfortable with reviewing the document, which wasn't finalized until sometime late yesterday afternoon or early evening, and I'm not satisfied with a process that either requires me to review things with 12 hours or 15 hours or whatever it is before the meeting, or requires me to be reading emails 4, 5, or 6 times a day in the 24 or 48 hours before the meeting. I understand the time pressures and the participatory nature of the drafting process that leads to that, but I think it is a poor process that can lead to errors and lack of clarity, and I have concerns about it. Generally, I have concerns that we've gotten into the habit doing that on matters that are difficult to resolve, and I think we may need to find a way to step back a little bit and either call an earlier deadline to the drafting process or give ourselves more time, and along with that, give some attention to a process that allows some way to integrate these things rather than having 5 or 6 of us, as the case may be, and our staffs individually writing and rewriting. It's sort of a too many cooks spoil the broth problem. And in this case, notwithstanding the fact that I agree that the potential errors or ambiguities or unclarity are of less concern at this stage, at the NPRM stage, than they would be at the final stage, I do have some questions or things that are not clear to me, and I'd start with a couple that I think are fairly simple, and that is on the issue of the 25 or 50 or 75% allocation that's laid out in the rule in a couple of different places. I'm looking, for instance, at page 26, line 1, and I think the same percentages are laid out elsewhere. Normally, when we lay out alternatives in a draft, we lay out alternatives as they are here. For instance, up in line 4, paragraph B, alternative 1, and then we go down to line 17, alternative 2. And it appears that the 25 or 50 or 75 are intended as alternatives, and yet they're not laid out that way, and it's obvious we couldn't adopt a final regulation in this form. So I want to understand why we're doing it that way, whether there's precedent for doing it that way, and if we're confident that that comports with a normal regulatory process.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chairman. I mean, I appreciate your comments, and I think that it has been there is a difficult balancing that goes on in a even-number member commission between the need to move, agenda forward, the need to provide everybody with an opportunity to be heard, and a need to try and reconcile differing views. This is a subject matter which I think some of the commissioners have had very different views, and we have worked very hard to try and come up with a system whereby folks can both feel like they've been heard and we can also reach some resolve. I certainly am aware that our task is far from done on this particular project. We'd initially had it on the agenda for 2 weeks ago. We didn't feel the document was close enough to put out then. We've spent a fair amount of time since then working on it, and I think I have tried to follow a practice here where, especially at the NPRM stage, to the degree that commissioners, particular commissioners, have questions or issues or wish to provide present alternatives for comment, that they be permitted to do so. And so I've tried to sort of accommodate many of those different kinds of concerns, even though at the end of the day, you know, I may not support those or they may or may not be the prevailing view. So that's sort of a comment on the general process, and certainly a lot of commissioners and their staff have worked pretty hard in the last couple of weeks, I would say, and up until yesterday, trying to suggest changes that they felt most comfortable with, and I think the staff has been on the had the hard job of trying to parse through all of that. On the specific questions you raise, and I'd like to start with the first, page 26, the reference to the three percentages. This came out of the regs committee when, and I remember the moment when the staff asked us what percentage should they fill into the blank here. And not perceiving clear guidance from the commissioners, they suggested that they provide a range of choices in the document. And the commissioners then thought that, on the regs committee, thought that that was a reasonable way to present this to the public for comment. And so that is the origins of that structure. It was certainly in its initiation presented as a way to provide alternative percentages. And at the time, I think we looked at that. The sense was at the end of the day, the commissioners would choose among those, and that they would not be presented in the final rule as three different percentages that the political parties or the candidates could choose among themselves. And so it obviously could have been drafted in a way that would provide some greater clarity there. But certainly the intent was that on the staff's part to try and accommodate the fact that the commission at that point had not reached resolve as to what the appropriate percentage would be.
I understand what the intent was, and that was what I divined, but I'm just on the technical issue. Is this appropriately set forth in this format as a series of alternatives?
We've been working with the Federal Register to make sure we have the rules in the proper format for them. The Federal Register's main concern is that it's laid out very clearly in the narrative as to which are alternatives, as well as using headings to give the Federal Register a heads up as to which might be the alternative paragraphs in total.
So that they are not concerned about presenting a series of alternatives within a paragraph, as we've done here.
So long as it's consistent with the rule structure and made clear in the narrative that that would be an alternative, yes.
And on the same point, I take it, and this is clear, for instance, in the alternative on page 27, line 14, where it says, but at least 25 or 50 or 75% at least, that those are minimums. But over here in the alternative on page 26, it's not laid out as a minimum. And our practice, I believe, in the allocation area has been to treat the candidate allocation as a minimum. And I want to get an understanding of what our intention is there. And, I mean, for instance, if we were to say that only 25% of this had to be attributed to the federal candidate, there might well be a situation in which, depending on the financial situation of the party and the candidate, the candidate would want to pay more. The party would want to pay more, and I assume that would be okay, but I want to understand if those percentages were intended to be minimums or if the rule would be such that only those percentages could be paid and had to be paid on either side of the equation.
Counsel?
Counsel, please.
My understanding is that alternative one for the attribution method would fix the percentages. And so under alternative one, it would be a fixed percentage that would be attributed to the candidate and then a fixed percentage that would be attributed to the political party, and that indeed it would be a minimum percentage in, under alternative three, as you pointed out.
But not under the alternative one.
Correct.
Commissioner Weintraub.
I think Commissioner, the Vice Chairman makes an interesting point there, but I think we could probably resolve it in the narrative with a question. You know, if we were to add a question at an appropriate juncture that said, you know, should these be fixed percentages or should they be minimums? And then we would have appropriate notice. Do we have that question in there? I can't remember. There have been so many drafts flying around. If we don't, we should. If we do, then I think that solves the problem because we've given notice that we can, and we can, to the extent that we make a call, that we decide to adopt one of those alternatives and we make a call down the road, we can bear in mind your concern and be clearer in the drafting the final rule. Is Councilor, is that question in there? I can't recall.
To the extent it's not clear, we certainly could make it more clear that we are requesting comment whether it should be a minimum or should be actually a flat absolute number.
Commissioner Montzpakovsky.
Mr. Chairman, I just want to say I want to thank you for the fact that, yes, there's been a lot of back and forth on this, and all my colleagues have been very accommodating about taking into account the differing views people have about this, and that's why there are various alternatives in here. That's why there are a lot of questions. I want to address this, however, by saying that there are some very difficult issues that are raised in this proposed regulation, and I want to strongly encourage the regulated community to send us comments about these issues and about these proposed alternatives. I think there's some very basic issues that arise. I mean, the first one, quite frankly, is whether we should be doing this rulemaking at all. In 2003, we put out a phone bank regulation to take care of hybrid phone bank scripts in response to a very specific issue that arose in a presidential audit. To the best of my knowledge, there was no widespread problem with party committee phone banks that required a committee response, a commission response. The NPRM that's here today is here for the very same reason. It was because of an issue that arose in an audit. So my question that I would invite comment on is there really a problem with what we're calling hybrid ads that needs addressing so that we need to issue a regulation, or is this proposed regulation an unnecessary reaction? I mean, I'd be interested in comments on that very basic question. Now, if we assume that we need to proceed with a regulation, then there are two very basic questions that, again, I invite comment on. I mean, the first is what type of public communications in terms of their content ought to be covered by these kind of hybrid ad regulation? There are alternatives in here, one saying that this would only apply to an ad where you mention one clearly identified federal candidate and then you have a generic party reference, and it wouldn't apply to any ads that have multiple references to clearly identified candidates. However, one of the other proposals is that this would also apply not just to an ad that has, you know, one federal candidate, a generic reference to the party, but would also apply if you have two federal candidates and a generic reference to a party. The example being, you know, if you have an ad that says vote for President Smith, vote for Senator Jones, and vote for all the other great candidates of their political party. Should it apply to those kind of multiple ads? The other part of the question that is very important that we need comments on is how broadly or narrowly defined do we need to be for the generic reference to a party? How specific does it have to be? That is a very hard question, and the problem with it is that if we're too specific, then we run the risk that we're being too narrow. If we're being too narrow, we run the risk of not covering ads that we ought to be covering. And again, we need comments on that. That's a very specific issue. The other question that we need comments on is, if once we get to the point of considering that something is a hybrid ad, is how do we attribute the costs for it? That was based on the discussion we just had about the different percentages, which is one way of doing it. What I would like to hear from the commenter is suggestions on how we fairly measure the benefit that's derived in a hybrid ad by the candidates that are mentioned and by the party in the ads. I think it's worth noting that our current attribution regulation, 106.1, to me is both prospective and it's very imprecise. I mean, the cost of an ad in that reg is split according to, quote, the benefit reasonably expected to be derived. Well, that's a reasonable person standard, which is very hard to for a regulatory agency to regulate in practice, and it leaves a lot of room for good faith mistakes in judgment, depending on which reasonable person you are when you're looking at the ad and how you think the benefit is going to come out of it. If we ultimately assign some kind of percentage formula to it and get away from that other way of doing it, then we're replacing a reasonable expectation standard with a test that is supposed to accurately reflect the benefit that is actually derived in an after-the-fact sense. And I would be very interested in any kind of quantitative evidence that people believe they have in support of this, and I hope that commenters will supply evidence on that. Otherwise, I'm prepared, while we have worked on this up until the very last moment, to try to get everything done the way we want, I'm prepared to support it today, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you. Other comments? Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I want to echo to some degree some of what the chairman said about the process. It's in another kind of agency, I think, the chairman would tell the general counsel what the rule was going to say, and that's what the general counsel would write, and it would be a lot easier. But that's not the way we work around here. And it's been the practice since I've been here that anybody gets to ask any question they want in an NPRM, even if nobody else on the commission is interested in the question or the answer, or it doesn't have the remotest chance of being adopted. If one commissioner wants to ask a question, they get to ask a question. And I think that's there are benefits and drawbacks to that kind of an approach, because on the one hand, it gives everybody an opportunity to get their questions out there. On the other hand, it does have the potential of confusing potential commenters as to where they ought to be focusing their attention, because they can't tell what's seriously on the table and what's just, you know, one or two person's idea. So, you know, I think it has its pros and its cons. You know, and everybody, because there are a lot of ideas in here and they represent a lot of different viewpoints, everybody was, you know, scribbling on their section of the draft, trying to get it framed in the way that they thought best reflected their viewpoint. You know, I think the alternative is that we could have done it at the table. We could have had a base document, and then we could have had four commissioners who came in each with their own blue document with a series of amendments, and I think that would have been worse. It would have been more confusing, and I think everybody in the audience would have walked out at the end of the day scratching their heads about, you know, what the heck we did over here. And they'd have a clear idea of whose ideas were whose. So I don't know, maybe there's some benefit to that. But at the end of the day, it would be very confusing as to what all was on the table. So considering that we do actually amend things at the table and we do sometimes write rules at the table and rewrite the AOs at the table, I agree, it's not perhaps the best process, and I have sometimes walked out of the room and said, gee, does that come out the way I wanted it to? But again, it's the nature of a commission of equals, and I think there's some benefit to that. There are some issues in here that are more important to me than others. There are some questions that I think you know, have there are some proposals that I think have more of a chance of success than others. But I do agree with one thing that Commissioner Von Spakovsky said and about seeking data. I almost want to post this on the election law listserv for all those academics out there who seem to have the answer to everything. If there are studies or data out there that would bear upon this, that would, for example, I mean, I just don't know if there's any hard data out there on the down ticket benefit of, you know, the kind of generic reference, you know, and the great Democratic or Republican or Libertarian team, you know, whatever the party is. I don't know if there's data out there that supports, you know, how many people actually get a benefit, you know, whether the down ticket really gets a real benefit out of that. But I'd sure be interested in knowing if somebody's aware of that kind of data. You know, where we end up at the end of the day, I really can't say at this point, but I like the chairman, I'm committed to trying to get there. And it's going to be hard because there obviously is a wide range of viewpoints on what direction we ought to be pulling in. But, you know, hopefully at the end of the day we'll be able to come up with an answer.
Very good. Other Vice Chairman Mason?
Yes, let me make clear, I don't, or perhaps least among commissioners, object to everybody having a say. I have two concerns that have concerned me before and that concerned me particularly with this one, and that goes to how it's done, and that is it's been done here, and we've developed a habit of doing it through shooting around serial sets of amendments from a whole bunch of different offices with, frankly, nobody really in charge of the overall process. I think that's a problem. Getting some more central intelligence in charge of the editing process is something we ought to delegate back down to the policy staff or something that could be handled in the regulations committee. I don't know, but I'm bothered by that because I think the end result is a more confusing, less coherent product than we could otherwise achieve. And number two, the time. That when this process is going on to, you know, a few business hours before the meeting, there's simply too much risk of unintended error, which, as we noted, at this point in the process, we can probably recover from. But there are errors that we can make here that we couldn't recover from. I mean, if we don't properly, you know, get an alternative out there or something like that. And so those are the points. It's not that I don't think everyone should participate, and it's not that I don't realize that sometimes to get something out the door, we have to put in something that a majority of the commission, you know, would prefer not to have in there, but rather the timing and the mechanics of how we do that. I just want to raise one other concern, and that is that it's not clear to me if we were to adopt the multi-candidate alternative that Commissioner Von Spakovsky referred to, that is to allow allocation under this new rule of communications that refer to multiple candidates and have a generic party reference, how that rule would interact with 106.1. Because 106.1 already provides the general rule for allocation of communications that refer to more than one candidate. And one way of thinking about that proposal would be to say that the effect would be to allow allocation with a portion going to the generic party reference. But essentially it would substantially displace the existing 106.1 rule, at least as to party committees. I'm personally not opposed to doing that. I don't think and I don't object to asking the question, but again, it's one of the concerns about proceeding in an orderly way, that it's just not clear to me if we actually chose that alternative what the effect would be. And I think the net, you know, at least it appears to me at this point that the net effect of doing it this way, leaving 106.1 unamended, adding a new 106.8, would be to unnecessarily complicate the overall structure of the rule. And that's, again, the kind of thing I have a concern about in a process where we have a lot of different people amending the document up to the last minute before it gets to us.
Okay. The Commissioner Walther?
No,
please.
Just to weigh in, I have to admit I did find myself, when we get an avalanche of emails and you're not sitting there at the same time they start coming through, you see them piling up, and then you kind of wait for the last one to see if anything's gelling, and sometimes you miss things in the middle, and you find yourself not having the time to go through them all, and then so you kind of find yourself looking at the last one and doing the best you can. We kind of found ourselves doing that, I think, and not knowing if what you see at the end is really building a consensus for the overall product. And I wouldn't have a problem at all if we wanted to take a little time, another week or so, to work our way through it. We're getting close, but I do think there's a few ragged edges that we could work on. The whole issue regarding these hybrid ads, at least in my experience, has come out of the presidential audits, the big concern, where you have huge amounts of money being spent in a presidential race, publicly funded, and the issue is raised as to what extent can it be augmented or to some extent subsidized by party expenditures in major ways. And in this most recent case, we find ourselves involved in a situation where a significant majority, if not nearly all of the money that we were dealing with, was spent in the battleground stage, which to me made it clear that really it was an effort to win votes for the presidential candidate. So it was, to me, a major difference between some of the other issues that have come before the commission. In each case, we've been asked to approve a percentage. So whether we like it or not, whether we did today or not, we're likely to be asked in the future, is this percentage okay? And we will find ourselves making a decision based upon our best judgment call. So here we're looking at these prospectively and trying to give guidance, which I believe council will represent candidates probably would prefer in a given case where there's so much money being spent. So I recognize we don't have hard data. It's not likely that we're going to find any, but we are in the process of making judgment calls on percentages no matter what. I did want to just take the time to compliment the OGC, the Office of General Counsel, for the work on this. I thought the draft that came up from the very get-go was very good and gave a lot of thought from it. You can tell you went through all the iterations and tried to figure out, gosh, what are the commissioners going to really want out of this, and tried to figure out the various alternatives that we might be attracted to collectively or individually. And I thought the job was great, especially all the way through here. But finally, I think it would be good if it came back to them with enough time to let them think in a little more solitude on the final product. I think it would be good if we considered the – I'm not sure any of us are wedded to the fixed percentage in a case, and maybe this is fine to let it go out that way, as long as we make it clear that we're not hobbled when we come to this by finding that any of the percentages we decide on would be a minimum. And I think from my reading of it, we're safe in finding that, but it seems to me that we – I might find ourselves in a position where we say a minimum of 50% will be allocated in a particular way. I'm wondering if we have the right language in this draft to cover the issue that was raised by Commissioner Von Spakovsky in connection with the multiple candidate situation, where you have multiple candidates plus a generic party reference, and how you allocate it among the multiple clearly identified candidates. And that's where it seems to me the benefit to be derived is probably a place to make that allocation. But I'm not sure, and I'd welcome counsel's thought on that, as whether or not if we decide that, if we've covered this well enough in here so that there's been notice that we're giving that issue under consideration.
I did see it in a draft proposal that came up, I think, one of the comments as a proposed alternative or something to be said in the NPRM, but it didn't make it in. So I'd welcome some comment on that from maybe the Office of General Counsel.
Maybe our counsel can provide some insight on how they see the provisions in the context of multiple, the naming of specific multiple federal candidates and a generic party reference and the consequential use of a formula under 106.8 would interact with the existing provisions of 106.1, which I think was the Vice Chairman's original question. I think is sort of also probably at the end of the day was the core of Commissioner Walther's question just then.
I'd like to first note that on page 9 of the draft, the NPRM does seek comment on an appropriate attribution and possible methods for attributing mm-hmm. such multiple candidate references in a hybrid communication. Additionally, to address the core concern, which is how these proposals would fit within the multi-candidate reference alternative. On page 13, there is a preview that one possibility is that whatever percentage in each of the three alternatives that would be attributed to a federal candidate would then be split among those multiple candidates that are referenced under the multiple candidate alternative. For example, under attribution alternative one, a percentage, 25, 50, or 75%, would be attributed to a federal candidate of the political party making the ad. In the case of multiple federal candidates in the ad, this 25, 50, or 75% would then be attributed among all of the federal candidates clearly identified in the multi-candidate ad. Does
that according to the benefit to be derived?
One of the possibilities is to do it under 106.1 according to the benefit to be derived. I believe on page 9 we make clear that there's a question as to what would be the consequences of doing that and whether there are other possibilities of how to attribute among the candidates.
And just, I guess, for the record, I'll note also on page 16, it goes more to the first question that the Vice Chairman raised. I mean, there is a question specifically asking, it's phrased this way, the Commission seeks comment on attribution alternative one, which includes, including which, if any of the three alternative percentages should be adopted or whether a different fixed percentage should be adopted. And so I think that there are a number of these points where we tried to make an effort to open, alternatives to the specific regulatory language which was proposed, and try and, hopefully through the process of public comment and public testimony, get some more insight into how these kinds of questions could be resolved. And so I guess, you know, sort of at the end of all of this, I mean, my sense is that there are sort of two categories of concerns. One is the process as it's been managed so far, and I think that, you know, in truth, it has involved a balancing of trying to, you know, have all of the voices heard and try and move, a difficult agenda document forward. And I think that, in part, to my mind, the commissioners have been very, very active in looking at these drafts and making suggestions because it's far from clear how this all works out in the end. And I think that as a consequence, there probably has been more involvement in this than we often see in things which end up having more control on the staff side. And again, this is, I think, is appropriate or certainly not profoundly either surprising or objectionable, given that we are at the NPRM stage. I agree with the Vice Chairman. Were we at the point of a final document, if we were looking at a final rule at this point, we would not be sitting in this room having done what we just did. I think that we would be much more concerned about particular turns of phrases, the particular interconnections of regs. These are obviously things that we think about at this stage as well, but we approach those questions with a greater, much higher degree of exactitude at the final stage of this process, because obviously we're all deeply concerned with the implications of the particular language we choose in these areas. Commissioner von Spakovsky.
Mr. Chairman, I also like to point out, because I think this also answers the Vice Chairman's point about 106.1 and Commissioner Walther's question about whether we deal in here with how we would attribute hybrid ads that have more than one clearly identified federal candidate. And I'd point out that that's exactly dealt with on page 21, because we specifically say there, as an alternative to adopting proposed 106.8, should the commission instead amend 106.1 to include expenditures that contain generic party references. And then it gives two possible ways it could be attributed, according to the current formula we have in there, which is according to the benefit each may reasonably expect, or a ratio based on the number of candidates referenced, including the generic party reference. So, I mean, we're specifically asking about both of the issues that the two of you have raised. So I think we have covered that in the NPRM.
Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm just looking at that same paragraph that you were reading from on page 16, and I'm wondering whether, in order to not foreclose the alternative that was suggested by the Vice Chairman at the beginning, whether we should, because those questions all seem to focus on page 16 between lines 10 and 16 on fixed percentages, whether we should add a question in there. The commission seeks comment on whether the percentage should be fixed or should be a minimum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think that we'd all be amenable to that.
Just to make clear that it's on the table and to avoid any potential APA problems should we decide to adopt that approach. And I would suggest that we could put that in as the second sentence on line 12 after adopted.
Okay. Other comments, thoughts, suggestions, questions? Commissioner Weintraub.
Mr. Chairman, I move approval of, agenda document 07-32 with the amendment that I just suggested at the table, and would authorize staff to make any technical and conforming amendments and to do whatever it takes to get it published in the Federal Register.
Okay, so as I understand it, the Commissioner Weintraub has moved adoption of Agenda Document 07-32, with the exception that on page 16, at line 12, between the sentence that ends adopted and the sentence that begins the commission, we would insert a new sentence which would say, in the alternative, should these percentages be set as a minimum? Is that
what I had said was, okay, the commission seeks comment on whether the percentage should be fixed or should be a minimum.
Okay. Sounds very good. Discussion on the motion. Hearing none.
I just ask the Vice Chairman if you're comfortable proceeding, or do you have some desire to take a little extra time and see if we can polish this off to a greater degree?
I am not comfortable with the process. I'm not going to oppose proceeding at this point, but I may if we're faced with a similar process in the future.
Okay. Well, I think your concerns have been heard. Other comments, suggestions? All in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Madam Secretary, if you could record that Commissioner Weintraub's motion has been adopted by a vote of 5-0. The last item on our agenda is management and administrative matters. Ms. Clark, do we have matters to discuss?
Just a quick announcement, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to make everyone aware that last week we hosted approximately 120 attendees at our Campaign Finance Law Conference for Corporations and PACs. Initial feedback from attendees was overwhelmingly positive. Next week, on May 10th and 11th, we are hosting a similar conference for candidates and party committees. The conference will take place at the Capitol Hill Hyatt, and we already have registered approximately 100 participants for that particular conference. Additional information about that conference and our future conferences is available on our website.
Very good. Thank you. And with that, we bring the meeting to a close.